Hello and welcome to Property Money Tree's Maximising Property Values, the once a month show where I break down the steps of how to recognise, enhance and then extract the values in property in order to create wealth. Would you like to find out how you can benefit from the steps of maximising property values? This is even if you don't own a property yet or have a deposit. If that's a yes, then you're in the right place to find out. My name is Patricia Ogunfaber, and although many know me for my work as a solicitor, on this show you will be getting the benefit of my 30 plus years worth of experience of maximising property values, experience which has given me a net worth in millions. So who might benefit from listening to this show? Literally anyone with an interest in creating property wealth. Welcome back. So this month is going to be quite short, and although I'm reading from the book that I published in January, there has been a change to this particular chapter. So this is chapter 9 in the book, and it's titled Permission to Keep a Pet. So for those of you who are very au fait with what's been going on, you will know that after January, the government decided to not require tenants to take out insurance if they wished to keep a pet. So that is the change that has happened to what I'm going to be reading out. So, chapter 9, permission to keep a pet. Tenants will have a right to keep a pet if they ask for permission as stipulated and the landlord agrees, doesn't respond in writing within the set timetable, or unreasonably refuses. A bird's eye view of the process is in Appendix 6. Things to note. If consent is given, the landlord can require insurance for pet damage. So as I've just said, no, the landlord cannot now require that. So back to the book. And if the landlord takes out the insurance, he can ask the tenant to pay for the cost of the pet damage insurance. No more. Landlords can also ask the tenant to take out the requisite insurance, but might be advised to do so themselves to ensure that the appropriate and adequate cover is obtained. Again, no more. The timetable is quite specific, and landlords will need to diarise matters with reminders to not miss deadlines. So what are the risks here? The landlord may lose the right to refuse that a pet be kept, brackets, if they can reasonably do so, close brackets, if they don't respond, stroke, act within this very detailed timetable. Two, the landlord might be underinsured when a pet is being kept. So this would be uninsured by the landlord themselves. Number three, if a landlord refuses a tenant's request, they could still be challenged under the redress scheme or in a county court whether their refusal was reasonable or not. So I think, again, that is just slightly different now. I think it's just under the redress scheme, like the property ombudsman. I don't know that a tenant would want to go to the county courts on this. How to mitigate the potential risks, explain the full reasons for a refusal if unable to accommodate a request, find a good insurer that provides adequate pet insurance cover if a pet is going to be kept, and some people actually talk about charging a pet rent. Diarise the timetable for actions here, as missing a deadline may remove a landlord's ability to refuse a request should they reasonably be able to do so. Develop a pet policy that will be followed consistently. This can be used as evidence to show that the landlord was not being unreasonable should a tenant challenge a refusal. It would be good practice to disclose this to all potential tenants when they request a viewing. Agree to an inspection regime with a pet keeping tenant so that if there is damage, this can be mitigated stroke avoided going forward. So like I said, really, really short chapter, but in addition to what I wrote in the book, And since publishing the book, something which landlords can also do to mitigate the risks is not have furniture in the properties that they are actually letting out. That could be another option that is open to landlords. But this really is just where we are. So next month, I'm going to be talking about discrimination, and that will be chapter 10 in the book, Discrimination, but that won't be until next month. And just want to give a shout out. If you know of any tenants, can you direct them to tenant2owner.co.uk? So that's tenant, the digit 2, owner.co.uk, or tenant2owner.co.uk, because I'm really wanting tenants to be aware of the fact that they can buy even if they haven't saved up a deposit. Obviously, it will depend, you know, their circumstances will determine exactly how much they can borrow by way of a mortgage, but the door is not completely closed to them. Anyway, look forward to seeing you guys next month. Do take care.